Well, I'm glad to be here. How many of you'd rather be in the hospital? You know, when you take it in the right perspective, I'd much rather be in church. And somebody that should be in church today is maybe on their way to the hospital. Hey, you should have come to church today. Okay, well, I'm not that quite that mean, but truly it's good to be here and to give a testimony to what the Lord has been doing in Slovakia for the last, we've been there, assigned there for 11 years, and we're just thankful for what God is doing. You know, COVID was not a surprise to the Lord. It blew us away, this war in Ukraine didn't surprise the Lord either. That doesn't mean it's His will. There's some studies going on in my life and about the will of man and how God deals with our will. But this is the will of man, but we can pray against that, and we can pray for that. And some of the things I'm going to give you testimony today about is about what God has been doing, preparing for such a time as this. And what was going on, and because God knew, and He wanted to help all of those that He could. And so He's doing that through us, through you here at Maranatha, and all across our churches in the northern Wisconsin, or the northern Michigan, Wisconsin ministry network. You know, it does in northern Michigan, does come before W, Wisconsin alphabetically. And I don't have OCD, I have CDO, because that's in alphabetical order. But anyway, I want to get on with it because I have a lot of things I want to say today. And I could talk for hours, not that you could listen for hours, but we'll go to the next slide there. I forgot to ask Pastor if it's okay, but McClung's.net, there's a link on there to give. It's okay, and so McClung's.net up in the top right-hand corner if you didn't come to give today or able to give this morning, or if you're watching online and you want to give, McClung's with an S dot net, McClung's.net. Anyway, and there's also videos and pictures, and the main picture there is inside one of our churches that is helping out with the refugees that are coming from Ukraine. And then you go to the news and updates. That page is another page inside of one of our churches. The backdrop picture is inside of another church. Several of our churches are helping. There's thousands of refugees that our churches have helped. I also see that you do Samaritan's Purse. We do that in our network of churches in Slovakia as well. And we have distributed them not only at Christmas time, but we have extras come. And one of our pastors, it's like one of our presbyters, he is the lead guy for Samaritan's Purse in Slovakia. And so we get extra boxes. And so we give those out to the Gypsy and Roma population people that we... And so maybe some of those boxes came from here. And so we're just to thank you for doing that and being a part of that. And it's the kingdom of God. It's not just the Assemblies of God. And I hope that's okay. And but that's the truth. You know, I'm not here for... I am here representing the Assemblies of God, but not only that, but just the kingdom of God and the Lord Jesus. And so are thankful for that. So in Revelation chapter 8, and I'm not going to do a study on that because Pastor, he's much more of a scholar than I am. And he knows all the Greek and the Hebrew and the Chaldees and all the other languages. But I just stick with Lithuanian and Slovak and German and French. Anyway, and I know a chut-chut. Paruski, but ja inne panimaju, vishetki. Okay, all right. And I don't understand everything in Russian, is what I just said. I speak a little bit of Russian. Anyway, the in Revelation, you see there that the angel of the Lord is given the incense, and together with the prayers of the saints. And he says that in there twice in those verses in 3 and 4. Together with the prayers of the saints. And we could talk about all that happens and all of that. But I want you to know this morning that our prayers do accumulate. And if you're not praying today, I want you to understand that you need to pray. Jesus said this, my house will be a house of prayer. Your life will be much, much easier if you'll pray. And it's not about make sure you pray an hour a day. I remember when I was first challenged that, fresh out of Bible school, and I was assistant pastor in Dallas, Wisconsin. How many of you know where that's at? Okay, yeah, it's on the other side of Norway, Michigan, right? No, it's way over there by Barron. But anyway, challenge us to pray an hour a day. You can't teach in my Sunday school class. And I talked to her last year about that. And she said, well, I don't remember saying that. So it must have been the Holy Spirit that was really, you know, getting me. I have all this education. I don't. But I did need to pray. So I'd come home after working all day, and I'd in the parsonage, and I would go for it before I ate supper. I was going to pray an hour a day. Man, I prayed for everything I thought I could think of under the sun and prayed, you know, fervently. And 15 minutes had gone by. I was like, wow, okay, so we just slow it down a little bit here. So then when I was in Ontonagon, that was really what helped me to get to know people because I put all their names down. I'd pray over them. We had a prayer list, a prayer chain, and all those kinds of things. And then God helped me write songs. I am not a musician. And Patty, my wife, is an intuitive musician. So she plays by ear and note. And she can't write a song. She hasn't written a song. And it gets frustrated. Well, how do you? I said, I don't know how I do it. I just, here it is. Can you play that? Yeah, it's the wrong key, but we'll get in the right key. And it's just wonderful what God wants to do in us through prayer. It is powerful. That power is ability and authority. Ability to do more than we can do by ourselves. Authority in His name. Like that song we sang, there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. The name of Jesus. So our prayers do accumulate. Then we look in Acts chapter 10. We see Cornelius. He was a devout man. He and his family and his whole house. So he was a leader. He was a Gentile. He loved God. So he was a convert to Judaism. He loved God and he gave and he prayed. And the angel of the Lord showed up and said, your praying and your giving have come up as a memorial before God. Therefore, send men to Joppa. And so he sent men to Joppa, and before they got there, the Holy Spirit began to deal with Peter. Because Peter had a Jewish mindset and was laser focused that the Jewish people were going to be through whom which the Messiah came to the world, and that they were going to be saved. But he needed to work on them to get them to see that God's children are all of us. And I'm glad today that through that we can have ham and bacon. But at the same time, I'm glad that we can have. And so, like any good preacher, when you get interrupted in the middle of your message because the whole place starts praying in the Spirit, Peter might have been a little frustrated, but maybe not. I know I wouldn't be. But they began to pray in the Spirit. Why did God choose that guy, that Gentile? It was because of his praying and his giving. So you have prayed for us. You gave. And I want to challenge you, if you're not praying, please pray. Continue to pray. Grow in your prayer. And if you give, thank you for giving. If you don't give, give. Start giving. $1 a month will help. $5. I'd started to say, don't go through Starbucks. Give your $5 to... There's another Ux in there somewhere. instead of buying hockey pucks, buy... Okay, anyway, I better move on because that's going to get bad real quick. But in Philippians chapter 4, Paul is talking to the church who had prayed and who had gave so that he could go to Macedonia, that he could go to Thessalonica. He said, you've given again and again. He said, I'm not looking for another offering today. He said, what I want to say is, what I desire is that more be credited to your account. So you're praying and you're giving. We see it, Cornelius. We see it in Revelation. You're praying and giving accumulates in heaven. God keeping record. He's keeping record of your praying and your giving. And those that are giving, smiling, and those that don't, but bow their heads. Okay. Anyway, I'll move on. Anyway, no, really, these things happen. We can't do it. We can't do missions without your praying and giving. And if we had $1 million and nobody's praying, it wouldn't work. And people praying and no dollars, it doesn't work. How many of you can live without money? Usually there's one person that, but the young people aren't in here. Yeah, there's a kid, he might can do without money. But anyway, but God wants us to be able to give our all, and he says he will bless us. It's his promise, not mine. He said he'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing more than you can contain. That's such a blessing. Let's move on. So we've been to, go to the next slide, I'm sorry. So we've been doing missions for about 25, 26 years. We were missionaries in Belgium as MAs, missionary associates, in 1983 and 84. That's before Pastor was born. No, not really. My son was born in 84 in Belgium. He's a Brussels sprout. And he always loved that when he was 13. But anyway, we have been doing missions, and this is how it works. You pray and give. We go and preach, and God brings the increase. God brings the increase. He gets the credit. I'm not up here to say, and these testimonies that I'm going to give are your testimonies. And our testimony to the Lord and His power, His authority, and His blessing. Let's go to the next slide. So we've done community events. I'll explain those in a little bit. You can see inside that church there, we had several construction teams come. And you'll see another picture later inside this church. This was the expansion. They had a little church. It was about the size of the pastor's office. And they met in there. And then we did kids' church in there. We did a week long of training kids leaders in the daytime, in the morning. And then in the afternoon, we would do what we were going to do is VBS. So we started out with, they brought gifts, the team did, came from Gillette, Wisconsin, Pastor Paul Carlson. They brought this team to do kids' church training in the mornings. In the afternoons, we'd do events. And then Saturday, we did the Convoy of Hope community event in another town. But we tried to bring gifts for about 30 kids. So I called the pastor. I said, hey, how many kids? Oh, maybe 30, maybe 40. Okay. And then he called me back, or he texted me, and he said, no, we're going to have about 60 kids. And pretty soon it was, you know, so okay, I just told Paul, I said, Paul, just bring a bunch of stuff. And so we ended up having to move outside into a park because there was over 200 people showed up. And so if you go to McClung's.net, you can look there under videos. You can click on the videos there and look under Sobranza, S-O-B-R-A-N-C-E, Sobranza, and you will see this town that church is, that you can see the picture there. And then we had teams come because they expanded. They grew and grew, and so we filled out and built that church there. Underneath that platform, you can see the purple maroon. I don't know if you can. Yeah, underneath the platform, there's a water baptism. We were just able to finish that this last year. So it has that. They had to make a thing that opens and shuts because they sealed it. Anyway, and now they've scooted. I don't know if that's a word from what language, but they moved the pews out of the way, and now we have beds laying there, and the refugees are coming and sleeping in this church. And because of your praying and giving, we've had been able to, the teams, like I said, God has been preparing for this so that we could give a cup of cold water in His name. We'll go to the next slide. This is what an event, a community event looks like outside. This town, Lipani, you can look on the website. You can see Lipani in there under videos, and you'll see a video there of what we've done. We go out, we give invitations, so a mother church will go into a new area. We'll get ready for this event, sometimes a year in advance, and they start building relationships. A lot of them have family or some kind of connections that go in these places. And so they go in, they start building relationships. Then we give them an invitation. They have a piece of paper. We have about 250 to 300 people every hour and a half. And we do from 3 to 7 services in a day on Saturday. And then we, after the end, so they come in tent number one, we give them food. It's 90%, 90% unemployment among the Gypsy and Roma people. And that's who we're ministering to give a cup of cold water in His name. And so we feed them when they come in. That's tent number one. And the volunteers that gave out the invitations, they're there. You can see them in the blue T-shirts. It says Convoy of Hope. And then it says Hope Starts Here in Slovak. And so then when they get, then tent number two is just for kids' church. And we've been able to use missionaries and teams to do kids' church like we did with the guys in Paul Carlson and Gillett. And then, so they did that on Saturday after all week ministering to kids all day. And then they did kids' church for us. But now we've raised up teams that are Gypsy and Roma people that are doing the kids' church, that are doing the worship, that are doing the preaching. And so I just show up and I just try to make sure everything goes right. And if something doesn't go right, they come to me and I try to get it fixed. And that's who I am. That's what I like to do. But so at the end then, we have service for them and they have people come forward. And in this place, we had 3 services for adults. And every service, there was 100% participation. Everybody came forward. It was so awesome. Man, I was building up. It was so good. And then hit a wall. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't sleep very good last night. But I was laughing at pastor's jokes. They're talking about his stories. But anyway, that's part of it. But then the Lord was talking to me. So anyway, I want to just mention that these kind of events, then when they leave, we give them bags of food, dry goods, and then we have fresh bread brought every to that morning of the event. We give them bread and send them home. Then the next day, so Saturday, then Sunday, on this place in Lipani, we kept the tents there and we ministered in church. And they had to open up all the curtain things, the dividers on the outside, because there was standing room only outside. It filled up, and they had a great, great, great time. And now there's a church there. They don't have a building. This is one of our 7 building projects that we have for the next few years. We'll go to the next church, next slide. The church that you see up here, the little red, kind of reddish building, that's their church. They were meeting in that church. That's about twice the size of pastor's office. And they had about 60 people meeting there. We did a Convoy of Hope outreach event on Saturday. Sunday morning, they had 100 first-time visitors. And then the next Sunday, they had 200 people show up. So they ran an extension cord about 300 yards up the hill to the building you can see underneath the little house there. And we started meeting and having church there. Me and some guys and some money from the U.S. and some from Europe gave us funds to put the roof on there. And me and some guys put the roof on that church from the guys in the church. And now I call it Harvest Church. And you can see the little pool there. That was, we had that first year, over 100 people baptized in water and added to the church. Because we don't want to just get people saved, count the numbers of how many people got saved. We want to make disciples to help them get plugged into cell groups and to get plugged into a local church. And that is the whole point in all that we do. And so we'll go to the next slide. This happened at this place in Kendica. You can also see that on our website, and you'll see a video of that. We, on the grounds where you see that building, we worked on that and put the roofs on that and stuff like that with several teams, and you can see one of the teams there. So how many of you want to come on a team to Slovakia and see Pastor after service, and we'll get you going. Okay, we're going in May this year, May 3rd. But no, please don't come with me on May. But no, you can. But we're not going to probably do any construction yet. But anyway, the point is that right there on those grounds where we did the Convoy of Hope event, that's now where a church is. It took a lot of praying and a lot of effort to get that land, but we did it. And the local church in town was a Catholic or Lutheran church, didn't want another church in town, and so they were fighting it. And then, but long story short, through praying and petitioning, and we got permission to buy the land, we bought it, and now there's building there. And they're about $40,000 short of finishing this building. And so we thank God for that. Now let's move to the next one. We also did university ministry. The next slide, please. And we ministered to several kids from many nations and had great, great ministry among those kids. And some of those students helped us. helped us. I'm going to drink your water, brother. Helped us with our Convoy of Hope events. Anybody else thirsty? Tony's going to get you some water. I'm sorry, Brother Tony. Dr. Tony. And anyway, thank you. That helped a lot. Okay, let's move to the next slide. This church here, I've only got a few minutes, and I want to just... This church here, we saw over 350 people come to Christ. And the mayor called Pastor Igor, who's overseeing this church now. And he said about 5 months later, after we had our event there, he said, you know, before you had that event, we had, when they would get welfare. So I said it's 90% employment. They're on welfare. They get their welfare checks. The mail carrier had to have a police escort to give out those checks. Then there was partying and mayhem, fighting. They'd have to call the ambulance in those first 7 to 10 days after they get their checks. And then the ambulances would also have to have a police escort. And he said, Brother Igor, I want to tell you that ever since you had that event, that has ceased. The mail carrier said she does not need a police escort. There's not fighting and mayhem, and they do need ambulances. They help the ambulance get to the place and get to the person, and they're helping one another. He said, when are you going to come back? That's a testimony from a guy that's not a Christian, the mayor, who's Slovak. He's not Roma. The Slovak people don't like the Roma people. They have earned a bad reputation because nobody trusts them, and they don't trust anybody, and they have to steal to stay alive. And so they have this bad reputation. But there are many communities just like that, that the power of the gospel has changed their lives so much that everybody notices it on a day-to-day basis. And it's really, really great. That's the power of the gospel. We'll go to the next slide. This is the outside of that church that I showed you, the inside. This is some of the ceiling tiles and some of the things that I talked about. We're housing refugees in that church now. We'll go to the next slide. So this is your testimony. This is the total sum. We've been done over 20 of these community events. Over 2,000 people have come to Christ since 2013 of April when we did our first one. And we've planted 5 churches through that. We've also helped other churches grow from 60 to over 200. And 35 teams to help us come and build churches. Because we don't want to just, again, give them a place, get them to Jesus, give them a place to go to church, but we want to give them a building to meet in as best we can. So, again, 7 of those things are happening. Now, 7 construction projects that are ongoing. And then we'll go to the next slide. And pray in the Spirit on all occasion, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And pray for me. Pray also for me. Paul says that. He was a pretty good missionary, a great pastor, a great writer, a great theologian and scholar. And he realized that he needed prayer. We need to pray for our leaders. in the church, in the government. The Scripture is clear about that. We need to pray for one another. Last night when I couldn't sleep, the Lord kept giving me this word. And I just want to share with you today that there's two things that the Lord has two questions for you today. First one is, where is your hope? Where is your joy? Where is your joy? So we can look at it like, what is our level of joy? And if you don't have it, you've lost it. Where is it? It doesn't matter how you got there. God's grace is covering how you got, you lost your joy. Don't worry about, just say, I'm sorry, Lord, I want that joy. Because the Bible tells us how to get joy. Jesus said, now, Pastor, I might be wrong on this one. I know it says it in the Bible. Beloved, let us love one another, that your joy might be half full. Is that what it says? No, it says that your joy may be full. Somebody's lost their joy. And as the prophecy was saying, we're on a journey. There's going to be battles, but we can have joy in the journey. Where's your joy? Get desperate to get more, that it be full. The second thing is where's your peace? Where's your peace? I mentioned it here before. My wife is in Springfield, Missouri, helping out with spring break and the grandkids. Our two daughters, they have all of our grandkids. We let them stay there for a little bit. And Patty's down there. But Patty, on January 1st, 2013, 2 months, 3 months, three months before we did our first Convoy of Hope event, had cardiac arrest. She had full sudden cardiac arrest. She was in a coma and on life support for 26 hours. We put out a prayer request. Folks, when we say we need your prayers, we're not kidding. The doctor told me, again, she was in 26 hours on life support, non-responsive, so they couldn't do any tests. He said, if she lives, she'll have severe brain damage. Because when the heart stops, the electricity, the brain damage starts after 2 minutes. After 5 minutes, it's usually irreversible. And we can see that your wife was gone for at least 10 minutes before the EMTs were able to shock her back. So we prayed and we put out a prayer request. I called our brothers in Springfield, and they just happened to be in a meeting with all the leaders, and they prayed for Patty. And I know the people around here were praying for Patty. And then Galen Hendrickson came from Waupaca up to Eau Claire, Wisconsin. We were in Eau Claire at Sacred Heart Hospital. And he tried to talk to Patty again. She was incoherent. And so he said, let's pray. And so we prayed in Jesus' name, amen. And we opened our eyes. She's looking at us. She's looking around. She doesn't remember it. She doesn't remember a few days before that and doesn't remember waking up at that moment. But she did. And Galen said, can you squeeze my hand? And she did. And then she moved her toes and she squeezed my hand. The nurse and said, all right, boys, out. Now we can give her tests. So Galen went back to Waupaca. And Kara and I, our youngest daughter, was living there. We were staying with Patty's brother. And the cardiologist took us into a consultation room, shut the door, do not disturb on it. And he sat down and he started talking. I have no idea what he said because the neurologist knocked at the door. He came in and said, I'm sorry to interrupt. I know I'm not supposed to interrupt, but he said, I have to tell you. That 2 minutes, 5 minutes stuff is decades of statistics and thousands of patients. He said, so when we did the first test, brain scan, neurological brain scan, he said, it can't be. So they did a second one. And he said, all I can tell you is that there is absolutely no brain damage, and your wife is going to have a full recovery. Amen. Amen. Right as the AMTs got there, and I backed up, a policeman pushed me back. Then all of a sudden, this ugly darkness came over me. And I know it was the enemy. Said, it's all your fault. And just about the time I'm going to, yeah, I know it. I did everything and I couldn't do anything. I couldn't help her. Then I literally felt the Lord's arm come around me. And He said, it's not your fault. This is for my glory. And then this peace just flooded right through me. God wants us to have that peace. And sometimes we're in the bottom of a boat and the storm is raging and we can't do the things in Philippians it talks about of making sure that we're not being anxious, that we're praying and being instant in season and out of season and doing everything that we can, that the Scripture tells us how to get peace. Sometimes He gives us peace when we can't get it on our own. So I want to ask you again, where's your peace? If you want to come and play I Exalt Thee, I'd just like us to bow our heads. Father, we just thank You, God, for Your peace that passes all understanding. That by Your grace You give it to us when we can't muster it. And I praise You and thank You, God, that You are here with us, asking us today, Holy Spirit, where's Your joy and where's Your peace? And God, we pray for the people of Ukraine and the people that have come into Slovakia and our Slovak churches. We pray for Your anointing and Your blessing, that You would give them peace and that You would give them joy in this journey. This journey that is terrible, that is a rough battle. But God, I thank You for the prophecy this morning that not only for us here in Kingsford, but also, God, for those in Slovakia and those that are coming out of Ukraine, over 3 million of them, God, that You have hope, that You have peace, and that You have joy for them. And we pray, God, that You would break the chains of the powers of darkness that are coming against Your people. For all people are Your people, Lord. Not all of them has accepted You, and not all of them have given their lives to You, and not all of them will go to heaven. But God, it is not Your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Lord, in this journey, we can have Your peace. Fill us up with Your peace today. Help us to hunger and thirst for peace. And help us to hunger and thirst for the joy. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. Lord, we exalt You. We exalt You. We exalt You. We thank You. And Father, I pray that the peace, that Your peace, God, and Your joy would flood Dickinson County, Kingsford and Iron Mountain, and all the towns here, and all there into Wisconsin and Florence and Marinette counties, all in this area, God. That You would pour out Your Spirit in 906 area code and 715 area code. God, pour out Your Spirit. The living God, that You're the only one that gives us hope, that You're the only one that gives us joy and peace. And Your word tells us that we can have joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. Thank You for that today, Lord. And thank You for Slovakia. Thank You for this church that has helped us, Patty and Wendell McClung, to go to Slovakia and be Your missionaries there. It's been such a great time. And we pray, Lord, that You would open the door for the next phase of our life. It's not quite clear, but Lord, we thank You that You have a plan. We pray and ask Your blessing on Pastor Dave and Deb Wilton and this church. Pour out Your Spirit upon them and bless them and destroy the works of darkness away from them in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray with Your authority and Your ability that You would destroy this immune deficiency in Deb's body, this attack. You know what it is. You created us, and You know how to fix it. And I pray, God, that You would give her a creative miracle and make her well and give her good health for Your glory, for Your glory. In Jesus' name, and I thank You for this today. Amen.
go ahead and continue to play, Don. I just think that there's an invitation involved in this. And so where's your joy? Where's your peace? Great questions. The Lord is our joy, and He is our peace. If you need your joy restored, you need your peace restored, I'm going to ask you to come and join us right down here in the front, and we're going to pray with you. You need the peace and the joy of the Lord. Would you come and just join me for a moment? We want to take some time and pray that God would supply that joy and that peace, and He will restore to you the joy of your salvation. Anyone at all, we just want to take a moment and do that. As you see friends coming, would you come very quickly and just lay a hand on them and just begin to pray that the Lord would restore their peace, the Lord would restore their joy. Come on, friends, let's go. We have some folks to pray for. Would you come and just join me here? And let's begin to pray that God would lift these folks up and that God would strengthen them, that He would restore their joy, He'd restore their peace. We need some folks praying over here as well, please. Let's do that. Thank you. And let's lift up our voices. God would meet that need, that God would supply. Thank you. Lift your voice and begin to pray. God supply. God supply. Thank you. We need someone praying right here. We need someone else to pray right here. Can we do that, please? Thank you.
Exalt thee, I exalt.
Father, we are just so grateful for your presence, and thank you for speaking to us, Lord, in so many different ways this morning. We just are so thrilled with your hearing our needs and just expressing them to us in a variety of ways. And Lord, we rejoice in you answering our prayer this morning. We bless you. We adore you and we honor you. And we pray, Father, that as we go from this place, we would go with joy and with confidence and peace in you. And that people would recognize it, they would see it, and they would wonder, what's with that person? I want what they have. I want the joy and the confidence they have in their lives. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Wendell will be in the back for a few minutes if you want to catch up with him. If you didn't get a chance to give, you can always mark it on your envelope and put it in there, give directly or give online. So thank you so much.